much of it here in America, boys and girls, but there are parts of the world where people have leprosy. And in the Bible days, almost 2,000 years ago, a lot of people got it. It was very contagious, very infectious. In fact, usually the people didn't die of the leprosy. They died from the infections they contracted because of the disease. Leprosy is a flesh-eating disease that starts at your outer appendages and works in. Now, what that means is your outer appendages are things like your nose, your ears, your fingers, your toes, even for some of them, their lips. And it began to eat away the flesh. So that pretty soon, like some of these men came in saying, I don't have any hands. And you saw their hands bandaged up. Some of them lost their toes and their feet and they couldn't walk, or they had to walk with a stick. Some of them actually, their ears. It ate their ears off. Some of them didn't have noses. Some of them didn't have lips, and just their teeth showed. And they were what's called quarantined. That means they weren't allowed to be out in public with anybody else, because then they might get the disease. And they had to hang together because they all had leprosy. These 10 in our story in Luke chapter 17. It was a hideous thing. Did you ever stink? I mean, did you ever need a shower? You know, when we stink, we can go take a shower. Then we don't stink anymore. Isn't that nice? Well, lepers couldn't. They stunk all the time with their rotting flesh. And if they ever had a chance to take a shower, they'd still stink, because their flesh was rotting. And then because their flesh was exposed, they'd get bacteria and infections, and they would often die. They were a hopeless bunch. The Bible said back in the law, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 13 and verse 44, that they had to go around with their hand, if they had a hand, one of their hands over their lips. And everywhere they went, they had to say, unclean, 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 to warn people. If people were walking one down one side of the street, they'd have to go to the other side of the street. It was their business to get out of the way. And can you imagine spending your life announcing that you were unclean, unclean, and you had no hope of it ever changing, but just getting worse and worse and worse? Well, the Bible says right here, it came to pass as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. See, Jesus lived up in a town in the north, an area called Galilee. Between Galilee and Jerusalem, there was an area called Samaria. Now, to go from where Jesus lived in Nazareth down to Jerusalem was 70 miles. And he had to walk it. That'd be like walking from here to Gowanda and back 5 times. And Jesus had to make that trip over and over again to keep the law, because 3 times every male had to present himself in Jerusalem to the Lord. On one of those trips, we don't know which one, as Jesus began to leave Galilee through Samaria, heading for Jerusalem, the Bible says this in verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, and which stood afar off. They wanted to go to be where Jesus was, but they stood afar off because the 10 of them had leprosy. They were dying. So they all hung together just to maybe encourage each other, just like a lot of people do. You know, when they share sicknesses or experiences or something, they kind of hang together. They get a little bit of strength from that. It says in verse number 13, and they lifted up their voices when they saw Jesus, and they began to say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And just as you heard these 10 men here today, they saw Jesus over here, and one announced it's the Lord, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, where do you think they got that idea from? 1 year earlier, hey, thanks. I was going to drink the change. All right. 1 year earlier, I want to show you a story. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 5. You're in the same book now, kids. Turn to Luke chapter number 5. I want to show you something that happened 1 year before this play happened. It says, beginning in verse number 12, these words. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Now, by the way, that thing about Moses and offering the offering when a leper was cleansed, you can read that over in Leviticus chapter number 14, verses 4 through 32. It's 28 verses long. It's the longest offering in all of the Bible that a leper had to offer if the Lord cleansed him of his disease. But here we see one a year earlier, and he is full of leprosy. Kids, he probably didn't have any ears. His nose probably rotted off. His lips were probably gone, hideous. Probably just his teeth were showing as he walked around. He probably had no hands, and he was probably just stumbling around on some stumps for feet. In the Bible, when he saw Jesus, he acknowledged him as Lord. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. And immediately all the leprosy departed, and all of a sudden he had fingers. He had a nose, he had an ears, he had lips again. He had feet again. It was a supernatural miracle. There's no explanation for it, but that the Lord did it. You know, I've seen the Lord heal some people in my life. I mean, miraculously, instantaneously heal some people through the power of prayer. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If you ever get sick, kids, or ever get a disease, pray. And then it says, call the elders of the church together and have them pray over him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I remember a man in our church whose arm was loaded with tumors. And the night before he was to go in to have surgery to remove the tumors from his arms, we got around him and we prayed. We prayed for his healing. And so he went off the next day, off to the hospital to have his surgery. And the doctor came back a little while later puzzled. He says, you don't have to have surgery. You don't have any tumors. They're gone. And we believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A lot of times we have not because we ask that. Is he always going to do that? No, I'm going to make a point in a moment. Every miracle is different. But what happened as a result of this one leper being healed? It says this in verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, of Christ. I mean, this got around. Those that were in the leper colonies probably knew this guy. We'll call him Brother Leper. And Brother Leper went out on his own one day, and he was the worst among the bunch. And all of a sudden, he came back, and he was different. And they said, what happened? How'd you get your hands back? How'd you get your nose and your ears and your lips back and your feet? What happened? He said, I met someone named Jesus. I said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Do you think maybe these lepers remembered that? These 10? Do you think maybe they remembered that? Do you understand sometimes that the things that happen to you and I are not only for our own benefit, but for those that are watching us, so that in the future they can activate the same faith we've had to activate? Sometimes God sends you through trials and tribulations and hardships in your life, not just for your benefit, but for the benefit of people who are watching you and watching your God. And exactly 1 year, I studied this out, exactly 1 year later, we come to Luke 17, our story today. And Jesus is just passing through a certain city, unannounced. And the lepers, as we saw in the play, recognized it. It's Jesus. What do you think the first thing that came into their mind was? He healed our brother last year. And our brother was worse than we were. He was full of leprosy. They began to cry out and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And they're probably thinking right about now he's going to come and he's going to lay his hands on us, just as our brother said. But every miracle is different. Every miracle in the Bible is different. And the way God does a miracle for you in your life is going to be different than the way God does a miracle for me in my life. But it's the same God and the same faith we have to have in a great God. And they began to cry out, and they stood afar off. They were probably hesitant, saying, well, we're lepers according to the law. We're not supposed to approach anybody. But our brother did, and he fell on his face, and Jesus actually touched him. Can you imagine that? Man, I'm just being honest with you now for a minute. If I ran across somebody, my wife probably could verify this. If I ever met somebody full of leprosy, I'd probably run from his presence and gag and throw up. Because I don't have a very good gag reflex. You know what that is? I just don't. I respect you people that work in the medical field and everything. I have to visit hospitals and nursing homes. I'm telling you something. Before I walk into anyone, I say, God, I need grace. Because, man, I've seen some things. I saw a lady one time, her body was like a burnt marshmallow from an explosion she was in. She was bandaged up like a mummy. All I could see was her eyes. And I had to go into that room and look over her and pray with her, try to comfort her. And 4 days later, she went to be with the Lord. Oh, man. I need grace to be around somebody full of leprosy. I need the grace of God. But Jesus, it says, touched him and put his hands on him. When you see Jesus' hands someday, when you're going to see him if you're saved. You just remember those hands one time touched a man full of leprosy. Boy, the Lord loves people. The Lord cares about people. Doesn't matter who they are, what they have. And those maybe even that we can't stand being around, our good Lord loves them. Cares about them very much. And they began to cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. But he doesn't do the same thing for them that he did for the one a year earlier. But rather, he says this. He says, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they obeyed, and as they began to go, the Bible says they were clean. As they obeyed the Lord, they were made clean. Some of them said, I have my hands. And they began to feel themselves. I can hear better. They began to look good again. Some of them that were walking around with sticks were able to walk and run again. As they went, they were cleansed. I want you to notice three things about these lepers today. Number one, they had a believing spirit. They had a believing spirit. When they saw Jesus, they knew what he could do from what he did a year before for their friend. And the fame of that went abroad everywhere. And they believed he could do it for them. They began to cry out and say, Jesus, have mercy on us. Number two, all 10 of them had an obedient spirit. Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests. They immediately turned and went to the priests of the Jewish religion to offer the sacrifice that was written in the book of Leviticus. And as they obeyed, they were healed. Now, they could have maybe disobeyed right about here. I know some of us may have said, well, wait a minute. What do you mean go show ourselves to the priest? Last time you put your hands on the guy and healed him. Why don't you just do that for me? Now, was he better than me or something? You know, they could have capped an attitude. They said, what do you mean show ourselves to the priest? We're not even supposed to go near those people. We're lepers. We're not allowed in the congregation. They could have copped an attitude and missed the blessing. Just like a lot of people cop an attitude when God tells us to do something. And we say, I'm not going to do that. What's that got to do with anything? But you know, I find in my life when I've obeyed the Lord, even with things that didn't make sense, that there's a blessing down the road, down that road of obedience. But the last thing I want you to see, number one, they all had a believing spirit. Number two, they all had an obedient spirit. Number three, but only one of them had a grateful spirit. Only one of them had a grateful spirit. And as the ten walked away, the Bible says one of them turned around. And he came back to the Lord and he fell on his face before the Lord and said, "Thank you, Lord." Now, we embellished the story a little bit with some acting today. We don't know all what happened. But he fell down before the Lord and he said, "Lord, thank you. Thank you." And Jesus, you know, a couple times in the Bible, this is hard to understand, a couple times in the Bible it says Jesus marveled. Can you imagine that? The God of marvels, who made all the marvels of creation history, he marvels sometimes at man's unbelief. And I can almost picture Jesus, and maybe I got this wrong, but I can almost picture Jesus with kind of a puzzled look on his face, saying, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Didn't I just clean 10 of them up? But only one is returned to give glory to God." And he said to that one, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." And he was a Samaritan. I mean, you talk about a two-time loser. It's this guy in this story. He's a Samaritan, and he's a leper. I mean, you talk about a two-time loser, but God cares about two-time losers. See, a Samaritan was a mixed breed. The Jews in Israel had been captured by the Assyrians. The Assyrians, boys and girls, were real bad people. You know what they do? History tells us when they captured the Jews, they line them all up and then they'd take one Jew and have him stand in front of them and they'd very slowly with a knife skin him alive. Until infection set in and he died. They were a heartless bunch of monsters. They captured Israel. They took Israel captive, the northern kingdom. When they took them captive, you know what some of the Jews started doing in future years? They started marrying the Assyrians, having kids with them, and those kids were called Samaritans. And the Assyrians ended up hating the Samaritans, and the Jews ended up hating the Samaritans. In fact, the Samaritans were such a bad people that one time someone said this to Jesus in John 8 and verse 48, I believe it is. He said, "Didn't we say that you were a Samaritan and have a devil?" You know what that means? Samaritans were equated with devils. They were such bad people. This guy was a Samaritan, and this guy was a leper. You talk about two things going against you. This guy had it against him. But he knew where to get help. Jesus Christ. Do we have a grateful spirit? Many of you have a believing spirit. You've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and you're saved. Many of you have an obedient spirit. You're going through all the religious rituals of fundamentalism that you should. You're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're going to church, you're giving tithes, you're giving offerings, you're doing everything the Lord said to do. You're obedient. You're even witnessing. But are we as good as this Samaritan leper? Do we have a grateful spirit? Have we ever honestly come back to Jesus and said, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for helping me." Have you ever thanked the Lord? Honestly, have you ever come back to Jesus and thanked the Lord? In closing, did you know that leprosy in the Bible, to us, in the spiritual realm, is a picture of sin? Leprosy is a picture of sin. Spiritually speaking, we're all lepers. We've all got the disease. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is still death. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. You know, when you read about leprosy in the book of Leviticus, you know what it says 9 times? You study leprosy in the Bible 9 times, it starts out describing leprosy this way, as a bright spot. What's that? Bright spot. A bright spot. It says a little bright spot appears in your skin. You know, spiritually, did you ever notice how sin always appears, first of all, as a bright spot? Did you ever see Las Vegas? Did you ever see Hollywood? Did you ever see TV? You ever see how sin always starts out as a bright spot? But then it becomes a hideous spiritual disease that slowly kills you like a cancer. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. But there's someone that can make us clean. You got to believe in Him. You got to obey Him. You got to be thankful. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken unto you, so your truth. He says, by my word, you're clean. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, all my sins are gone. All my sins are gone. Because when I was 13 years of age, I asked Jesus to be my personal Savior. Sin's killing you. Sin's killing all of you. But Jesus Christ can save us. I'd like us just to bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer as our piano players come up. Everybody now with your heads bowed, everybody with your eyes closed. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if you're here today and you say, I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven someday. And we need to have a believing spirit, first of all. Some don't believe. Now listen, some people are believing in themselves. You ask them, are you going to heaven someday? Yep. How do you know that? What gives you that confidence? Well, I've been baptized, I take the sacraments, I go to church, I give money, and try to keep the Ten Commandments, and they start listing all the things they're doing that they're believing. They're believing in themselves and what they can do. But the salvation of your soul takes place when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. If you could save yourself, He wouldn't have to climb on that cross and die for us. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again. My friends, Jesus is the Savior. You're not. Don't try saving yourself. Jesus is the Savior. Salvation is a gift. It's not a reward. It's not something you earn. That's a reward. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through the Lord, not through some church or religion. It's through the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if that is the need of your heart today, the desire of your heart, you say, I am a sinner. This sin is killing me. It's a slow death. But I'm going to die someday, not because of natural causes. I'm going to die someday because of sin. But Jesus died in our place for our sins. If you'll trust Him as your Savior, you'll need to call upon Him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So whether you're young or old today, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I want to help lead you in a word of prayer right now. That you could act upon that promise of God that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God you can act upon right now, right where you're sitting. If you'll do that, now you don't have to do this out loud. But from your heart, pray to God something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I cannot save myself. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I believe You are the Lord. I believe You died on the cross for me. I accept You as my Savior. Come into my life and my heart right now. Please give me the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name. Now, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder how many of you perhaps have prayed this morning, just now with me, but not to me, but to God. And you meant it. If God revealed your heart today, he would say he or she really meant it. They asked the Lord to be their Savior. No one's looking around. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. But I wonder if you could just raise your hand real quick and say, God knows my heart. Children, adults, raise your hand up right now. Say, God knows my heart. I've asked Jesus to save me. God bless you. God bless you all. Amen. Anyone else? God bless you, kids, and in the back, some adults. God bless you. We're glad for your decisions today. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Anyone in the balcony? God knows my heart. Yes. God bless you, too. Our Father, bless now our invitation, and thank you for this time we've had together as a church family, and thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you did for the lepers. Thank you for what you can do for us. Help us, Lord, now not only to be believing and obedient, but to be grateful. Oh, God, give us grateful hearts for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to take our